Chapter 15. With each passing day, Dorothy Kilgallen's inquisitive mind considered the witness testimony with close scrutiny. As Kilgallen weighed the credibility of each witness called to testify, she could easily examine their demeanor, their facial expressions, whether they spoke in a loud or soft voice, everything about them. Unlike others in the future, authors and so-called JFK assassination experts, the savvy reporter was right there, sitting front row, taking in the courtroom landscape. As a veteran trial reporter who had covered many high-profile cases, Kilgallen also could assess the witnesses' propensity for truth-telling, their veracity, and it appears logical she would have noted her personal thoughts, along with the pertinent testimony, in the file she carried to court each day. It seems likely Kilgallen must have been struck by Detective Sims explaining that while he was present in the Homicide and Robbery Bureau on Friday night after JFK had been assassinated, where Oswald was located at the time, Ruby had a sack of sandwiches made up and he wanted to bring them up there to the office to us. It's not a stretch to believe the respected journalist with the curious nature must have wondered whether Ruby had murder on his mind, whether he hoped to gain entrance to the bureau so as to assassinate the man he was certain had killed JFK. Apparently, based on previous testimony, Ruby had had the chance to shoot Oswald when he was close to him at the news conference, but for some reason that did not work out. Now Ruby, she may have surmised, was looking for a new opportunity, but Detective Sims denied him entrance to the bureau and thus access to Oswald. When Detective Sims admitted that Ruby enjoyed his friendship with police officers here in Dallas and knew so many of you men, Kilgallen would have noted this evidence and realized a conflict existed with those in the DA's office who denied Ruby had any such friendships with Dallas police officers. Later, Earl Ruby, Jack's brother, told reporters he accompanied Jack into police headquarters, where he witnessed many police officers say, "Hi, Jack, hi, Jack, hi, Jack." In 2017, as part of the government's release of JFK assassination files, a memo dated 11-26-1963 surfaced regarding Ruby's relations with Dallas police officers. Note that the memo states, "Ruby had a good in with the Dallas Police Department, confirming his friendship with officers. It appears to have been common knowledge in Dallas that many officers flocked to Ruby's Carousel Club on a regular basis. As will be shown, Kilgallen knew this as well, based on first-hand information she included in one of her columns." Lieutenant Leonard's testimony was more evidence pointing to Ruby being on the trail of Oswald. However, Kilgallen must have wondered how Ruby was able to be present at the press conference since he was not a member of the press corps and certainly did not have police credentials. These facts would likely have prompted her to wonder who let Ruby into the hall leading to the bureau, while further prompting her to conclude that Ruby was persistent in getting as close to Oswald as possible. Likely also of interest to Kilgallen was Lieutenant Leonard's admission that Ruby was on a desk in the police assembly room and that he had a notebook and a pencil in his hand. Common sense had to have indicated to Kilgallen that Ruby's ruse to gain entrance to the assembly room close to the bureau was to play a news reporter so he would blend in with the other journalists. All of this testimony added to the portrait Kilgallen was painting of Ruby, a clever man who had a plan to somehow, some way, slay Lee Harvey Oswald. Wes Wise's testimony alerted Kilgallen to the fact that Jack Ruby was continuing to gather information about JFK's death in general and Oswald in particular on the Saturday afternoon before he shot Oswald. Obviously, she would have concluded that Ruby had more than a passing interest in every aspect of the Oswald matter, even to the point of having either followed or come upon Detective Will Fritz and Dallas Police Chief Jesse Curry. Why, she must have asked herself, was Ruby so intent on learning more and more about what was transpiring on the police end? No doubt exists Kilgallen paid close attention to witness Harkness's testimony for at least two significant reasons. First, it is clear she would have understood that the entrance to the county jail was blocked either by men or ropes, and that if Ruby intended to enter the jail, then the entrance being blocked prohibited this from happening. And it prevented a scouting expedition to learn the logistics of the jail basement area where he likely knew Oswald would pass when being transferred the next day. Second, Harkness confirmed his sighting of Jack Ruby at the jail entrance and suggested the time was 2:30 or 3 o'clock on Saturday the 23rd, the day before Ruby shot Oswald. Most significant, though, Harkness's report of spotting Ruby on the 23rd means that Ruby's later statement that he just happened to be at the jail entrance the day before he shot Oswald fell short of the truth. With this information, Kilgallen would have been able to conclude that visiting the jail entrance was part of Ruby's plan to somehow gain entrance so he could be ready when Oswald was being transferred. Author's note: in a little-known publication by the Dallas Morning News on November 20, 1988, entitled November 22nd, 25 Years Later, Secured by This Author, page 31 features a statement by Dallas police officer Roy Vaughn. Sometime later in the morning, I learned that allegedly Ruby had told them he came down that Main Street ramp. I'll tell you right up front, I don't believe it. I think he came in another way.